So does the situation in North Korea affect the situation in Iran? We should note this morning that Mahmoud Ahmadinejad was officially inaugurated to his second term as the president of Iran, but it hardly ends the unrest that has marked the situation in Iran since the election of re-election of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Joining us now is Shaul Bakash, Clarence J. Robinson Professor of Middle East History at George Mason University in Virginia. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
First of all, what do you make of the connection? I mean, the Iranians seem to have a lot of problems right now. I don't know if they're necessarily looking at North Korea, but does action in North Korea suggest that Iran has some sort of action to take here? There are three Americans detained in Iran right now.
Yes, these three Americans were detained when they crossed the border into Iran while they were walking on the Iraqi side of the border, and it's still not clear what the Iranian government intends to do with them, to make a big issue of these arrests or to let them go.
So do you think that this encourages the Iranians in any way?
You mean President Clinton's visit
to
Korea? Well, it's hardly likely that a former president will visit Iran very soon, because relations really are much more strained right now, and Iran is undergoing great turmoil. But the same kind of problem of a nuclear program that the United States would like to see come to an end exists in Iran as in Korea.
Well, there was tough talk this morning from Mahmoud Ahmadinejad as he took the oath of office in Iran. I'm wondering what you think a second term of Ahmadinejad might actually look like. And then I have some questions about the salience of the sort of issue of America the Great Satan in Iran. It seems like that issue is diluted at this point, at the very least. But first of all, a second Ahmadinejad term, what does that look like?
John, he took his oath of office under heavy guard. Police were out in the streets everywhere. Leading members of the opposition did not attend the inauguration ceremonies. So he takes office in an election that many Iranians think was illegitimate. He has increasingly to rely on force and repression. And even though he announced intentions to introduce reforms and a more prosperous economy, it seems hardly likely given the policies he pursued in the past, which were based more on the distribution of goodies rather than investing in productive programs. It seems hardly likely that his economic policy would change. So this is a much weakened president.
You know, we don't normally say that the beginning of a second term would be the end of an era or an epoch in Iran, but I'm wondering if we can actually make that claim this morning, because suddenly the issue of Iran being manipulated by external forces, a political issue that has been important in Iran since 1953 and certainly was reinvigorated after 1979, the Islamic Revolution, suddenly the issue of being manipulated by foreign powers it seems very, very irrelevant to most of the concerns of Iranians, and that has to mark a historic turning point.
Well, clearly the government continues to try to blame the unrest in the country and the protests against the election on foreign manipulation, but no one in Iran believes that. And the president in his second term not only faces a discontented population at home, but a much diminished standing abroad. It's going to be much more difficult for the United States and the European countries to engage a president whose legitimacy at home is in question.
Professor Bakash, this is Amy Holmes here. Roger Cohen brings up an interesting possibility in the New York Times, that big New York Times piece that he wrote this Sunday, that in fact Ayatollah Khomeini can perhaps bring Iranian public opinion back behind him if some months from now he becomes conciliatory towards President Obama. That, getting back to John's point, it's hard to maintain the storyline of America the Great Satan when Obama has said he's willing to, you know, meet with no preconditions.
The Supreme Leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, has always been very skeptical about the benefits to Iran of engaging the United States, and I think his skepticism remains. Some analysts think, you know, a weakened government is much more likely to engage the United States as a way of winning back its legitimacy, and certainly that must be one of the courses the present government and regime are considering. But we don't yet see any easing of Iran's position vis-a-vis the United States or on the nuclear issue.
So let's talk about the nuclear issue then. If a weakened Iranian government is going to be more difficult to engage by the Americans and the Europeans, I mean, doesn't that make it at least possible for the Europeans and the Americans to put more pressure on Ahmadinejad to make some sort of accommodation? I mean, isn't it conceivable there could be a positive outcome here?
Well, President Obama is clearly still very focused on engaging Iran because he thinks the nuclear clock in Iran is ticking. And at the same time, the administration here has warned that if Iran does not satisfy demands, that it curtail certain parts of its nuclear program, much more severe sanctions will be put
right
in place. The problem with sanctions is that they don't often work, and the problem with sanctions against Iran is that China and Russia are very reluctant
sure
to go along.
Well, Shaul Bakash, Clarence J. Robinson, professor of Middle East history at George Mason University in Virginia, helping us with a sort of Kremlinology approach to sorting out what's going on in Iran. There were many senior leaders not at the swearing-in of Ahmadinejad. Thank you so much, Professor.